Om Shanti. So today our subject is the lighthouse and lighthouse stage. And so I want to first of all look at what do we mean by lighthouse, what do we mean by lighthouse, and what exactly is a stage. Very, very basic. And also, I would like to have us look at the thing from the simplest, grossest interpretation through the symbology of it to the actual experience and the actual practice. Because these descriptions, when Baba says lighthouse and mighthouse, he doesn't speak in Hindi, he's speaking in English. Right? And so a lighthouse, and also remember that we're thinking of the era from the 1930s to the 1950s, say, or 60s maximum. So during that period, the strongest light you could get was a lighthouse. And you know how a lighthouse looks, especially how it used to look in those days and how a lighthouse was set up. And present day we don't have that because we have other electronic means of navigation. But in those days everything was based on your ability to see a light if you were on a ship in stormy seas, so it has to be very bright. You're not getting translation? Spanish translation is not working? Okay, anyway, I'll continue. So Baba says to us, you have to be a lighthouse. And so when we're thinking of this expression, be a lighthouse, at the grossest level, we're talking about something which is on the shore of stormy seas, in dangerous areas, where the actual light has a person in there controlling it, and it's using a lot of reflectors, so it's very high wattage light. Also using reflectors, and it has a particular signal. It rotates, and the frequency and the timing of the flashes of light allow the person on the ship to know where it is and what kind of danger it is warning about. So that's one meaning of lighthouse, which you can then extrapolate for its symbolic value. And the other meaning of light, you know, is knowledge. And so if you are a knowledge house, a lighthouse in the sense of a knowledge house, and you're also shining with that knowledge, it means you know the Gyan, and that you can function as a source of information for another person to be able to understand. So the stage of being a lighthouse is illuminated in a number of different ways. And then a third attribute of light is, of course, weightless. But that's not so much there in the image of a lighthouse because it's very grounded. A lighthouse is situated in a place where there is danger and you are signaling to people about that danger so that they do not run aground or run into dangerous areas and get into trouble. So the kind of knowledge that you're representing is also to do with people's safety. So there's a protection element in there as well. So then let's look at a mite house. And when Baba talks about might, he is also talking about power. So a powerhouse meaning the place where electricity is generated, the source of strength. And so, of course, the source of strength is Sheep Baba. And if he says you have to be a mite house, it means that you have to have absorbed into yourself the power of God so that you can then convey that or be a conduit for that. That means to say that you are not dependent on someone else giving your yoga a boost. Right? So let me have some drishti now so I can light up, you know? No. That's not the work of a mite house. A mite house takes responsibility for generating the power. And so we know how to generate our power by maintaining the frequent and intense connection with Sheep Baba. So why do we have to be a mite house is because there's very, very few people on this earth who have the possibility and the capacity to make a direct contact with Sheep Baba. And those few are you. And so if it's not happening, then there's a big problem. Because the rest of the planet is dependent on the mite houses. So the mite houses have to be very good at generating power and distributing it. And you know how people don't like it when the power goes off. So also, in the structure of the Brahma Kumaris, many people have this idea that, well, the dadis are the mite houses and we are wires, you know. But Baba has said, no, you also have to be a mite house and a lighthouse. So this is then the duty that we have been given, and it's also our function, or you can say our position or our job. So there are many things that Baba has spoken about in regard to these things. And so I want to try to collect up some of them so that we have the material at our fingertips and then using that and developing that so that we actually can have the stage of a mite house and a lighthouse. So first we start with the image and the symbolic value and how to determine within ourselves to what extent am I this? And what do I have to do in order to become it more? And what do I have to do in order to become it completely? And what is this thing called stage? See, he talks a lot about developing our stage. And so we know we have our four subjects, Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, and service. And we know that we have to work with all of the four in an equivalent way so that all four are getting developed at the same time. Otherwise, our stage will not be stable. So you have a comparison between the word stage, seat, position, function, occupation. And so we see all these different words and how they refer to what we're trying to create here. The stage that Baba is talking about, he also says that he wants this to be natural. Natural has this component that it's always there. So if you are thinking about being a lighthouse and imagining yourself as a lighthouse and imagining that you are radiating some light and this kind of thing, that's going to be going on for a few minutes. So we wouldn't call that a stage. And visualizing a simple image, a picture of a lighthouse, is not really going to do it. So we have to go deeper into the symbolic reference or the symbolic value of it in order for it to become a stage. So we have these two things. One is the lighthouse, so you have a picture of a lighthouse, and one is the mite house. You don't have a picture of a mite house probably, but you can imagine some kind of electricity generating station, right? So that's the mite house. And then you say, well, you know, it's not very beautiful, so I can't really imagine being an electricity generating place or one of those kind of towers, you know, that look like cotton reels on the horizon with smoke coming out and highly polluting things. So it's more difficult to actually get into, it's less romantic to think of oneself as a mite house. So we have to create some kind of image which is more palatable, more eco-friendly, you can say, maybe more spiritual. Huh? The lighthouse is a little bit more comfortable, and you've seen a lot of lighthouses on blessing cards and pamphlets and brochures and so on, because BKs like to use that image, but you never see any BK pamphlet with an electricity generating place on it, because it doesn't look the part. So we have other alternative forms of energy. You can see in the kitchen here we have these big discs, you know, the big solar dishes for generating the solar power. So that's a little bit nicer. And the image of a dish is a little bit comfortable because there's the idea of drawing the light and power from the sun and focusing it somewhere so that it's then usable as a source of energy, and we use it to make hot, steam for cooking the rice and all. But the image is quite nice. It looks a little bit spiritual, nice round, bright dish, and the idea of taking from the sun, Shri Baba, the sun of knowledge, and then in that image you're not radiating it generally as the sun is radiated generally, but it's very focused on some particular place. And if you think about the image of the lighthouse, that is also focused. When we think about the point form, we also have an image of a laser beam that comes, you know, this nice little red light that you can use in your PowerPoint presentations and so on. And the technology of a laser beam is that you take light which normally radiates in all directions and you make those light beams parallel instead of radiating, and then you have the intense laser light which can create a very intense light that can be seen very far and which is also used to cut in surgery. You have a very, very thin beam of laser light and it will cut, and you can do the laser surgery with that. Anybody had their eyes cut with the laser surgery? No, it's quite interesting. I had it done. They put you under this machine which has this nice little laser knife, and then they actually cut a circle and remove your cornea. So for a few minutes you're in total blindness, and so they tell you in advance, don't worry, your vision will come back. And then they adjust your cornea a little bit and they put it back, and it sews itself up together by itself. So it's quite useful as an image to represent going from out of focus to in focus as a surgical operation. Baba is also the supreme surgeon. And what we want to be able to see is truth, isn't it? Baba is called the truth. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram is the famous praise of Shiv Baba. That means, Satyam means it's the truth. Shivam, the benefactor, Shiva. And Sundaram, the beautiful. And so what we want to be able to see is the light of truth. And we also want to see its beauty. And we want to see the beneficial impact of it. And seeing it means understanding it. So if we're going to give out light, we're going to give out some understanding, some information, so that somebody can understand what they couldn't understand before. Now, we're talking also about communication skills. So one of the things that is very clear that Baba very often says, if you want to speak this knowledge, you have to be practicing everything, otherwise you can't speak it. And then you say, yes, I can. Whether or not I'm soul conscious, I can tell that you have to be soul conscious. Whether or not I'm practicing purity, I can tell that you have to be pure. We can lie through your back teeth, right? It's not difficult. But why he says you can't do it is because it won't reach. The person will not be able to hear what you're saying. Because communication is not just something that occurs through speech. Sometimes somebody who's very new in Gyan says, you know, I told the person they're a soul. And then some more experienced BK comes along and says exactly the same thing. And they hear it from the experienced BK. And the inexperienced BK says, what's going on here, you know? Because I said the same thing, they didn't understand, and this other person said it and they understood. So stage has something to do with that. If you are actually soul conscious, and it's your nature, and then you mention, be soul conscious, there's a continuity between what you are, what you exude, what you say, what is coming from your face, your eyes, your history, your activity, all the different parts of you are giving the same message. And therefore, it can be picked up. You see? So if we're talking about the stage of a lighthouse and a mite house, that means to say that you are the embodiment of knowledge, you are in your own power, and then you don't really have to say anything because it's self-explanatory. Now, we speak because it's a circumstance where you have a speaker and some people that you're speaking to. It's a circumstance for the communication of this thing that you have acquired. So the actual speaking of the knowledge is secondary, very secondary to what you are. Right? And so nowadays, Baba is talking a lot about service through the mind, isn't he? So service through the mind, what is that? You're sitting here thinking, be so conscious. It's not like that. Service through the mind is very interesting. If you are actually soul conscious, if you are actually filled with the light of knowledge, then the thoughts that are occurring in your mind will be products of that state. You see? And thoughts that occur in the mind of a person who is actually soul conscious, who is actually in their own power, who is actually independent of any other human being to remind them or, you know, boost them a little bit. Yeah. They're free. And there will not be any waste thoughts or any negative thoughts. So the mind is a very good barometer to let us calculate how far we are progressing in our spiritual practice. So we need to feed the mind. So we have the murli in the morning time. Now you will notice the official correct setup for listening to the murli is like this. That first of all, you have to have a good Amrit Vela. If you don't have a good Amrit Vela, you will know what's going on in the murli. Right? You sit there, you listen, you may take some points, but it's very superficial because the self has not been prepared. So Amrit Vela is very important in order to be able to receive the nectar of knowledge. So the Amrit Vela is a purifying process. It's also a power-absorbing process. And so Baba has given us fixed time for Amrit Vela, 4 o'clock to 4:45. And then that's extended to as early as 2 o'clock in the morning. You know that Brahma Baba, Mama, used to sit 2 o'clock in the morning. And if you sit at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're not strong, it won't be so effective. So better to sit at 4 o'clock in the morning, make yourself strong, and then gradually extend the earliness of the time in which you sit, you see. Because otherwise you'll get too tired and you won't be able to manage it. So one has to really pace oneself in the process of being able to really receive and take in the great power from Shiv Baba in order to be able to actually be a might house. I see. And this is also connected with purity. Yeah? If I go back to this description of Shiv Baba, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, the truth, the benefactor and the beautiful, and refer that to the quality of the mind, the thoughts that are occurring. You know, Dadi Jenki talks about the heart as the mind, yeah, because your feelings, you feel, and your emotions, not emotions, but sensitivities, you connect with the heart. The mind is more of a sort of intellectual thing, isn't it, in our language? So still this word dil, the heart, has a reference to the deepest inner core of your being. Heart not in the sense of your blood pumping device, but your heart of your soul, the most innermost part. So when you're thinking about a soul, you know, and you say, well, what is this? Because I, the soul, have a mind, right? I, the soul, am not a mind. I have a mind. I have an intellect, and I have some sanskaras. Four things in a soul. Mind, intellect, good sanskaras, bad sanskaras. Four things. Some people have thought that, oh, well, we have to remove the bad sanskaras. Take a cosmic knife and cut your soul in half. Can't be done. Because the soul is indivisible. And so the bad sanskaras, what are you going to do with them? Because they're with you for eternity. You see? Because the soul has mind, intellect, good sanskaras, bad sanskaras, and it goes around the cycle. Golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age, confluence age, perm down, come back. This is the soul. Or is it? You know, because it's very subtle. What is a soul? You have to think, okay, what am I? I'm not a mind, I have a mind. My mind will go with me when I die and it'll stay with me forever. Oops. So the mind must be understood so that I can be its master. But there's no use oppressing it and suppressing it and all that, because that's violence. Hatha Yoga. So Raj Yoga has nothing to do with self-suppression, self-oppression. You can't have a self-suppressed lighthouse. It's not going to work. You know? Imagine the negative energy turned against itself. What's going to happen? It's going to fall apart. You know, so your soul is going to break. That's when somebody loses their mind. It's like that. Intellect, what is this? So for me, to think of the intellect as synonymous with the conscience is quite effective. Because you have to be able to know whether you're producing a good thought, a bad thought, an ordinary thought, a necessary thought, a waste thought, or what. And the mind is not that thing that knows. The intellect is that thing that knows. And then you have sanskaras. What are they? You know? You say, oh, you have a list of habits, talents, good things, bad things, you know, imprints of your karma, you know. Why do you do what you do? You have to think. Because if you're going to be an embodiment of knowledge, that means each and every thought that's produced, gestures, words, responses, how you handle things, you know, everything has to be accurate, has to be true, has to be according to Srimad, you see, and natural. It means the knowledge has to be so deeply absorbed into your being that you don't have to try and figure it out every time. Because that takes too much time. It has to be automatic. And if there is something in us that is false, then we're not the embodiment of knowledge. We become, you know, lecturers about knowledge, but not embodiments of knowledge. So, service through the mind, I think, is very interesting, because your mind cannot think thoughts that are incompatible or incoherent with each other and still have clarity. So, clarity is connected with truth. Clarity is also connected with light. So one of the things we're trying to be here is, do I understand what this gyan is? At progressively deeper levels, as long as we're in gyan, we're on some level or another. And we all listen to the same Murli on the same day, but every single one of us picks it up in a different way. And if you are a person who's teaching, because all the teachers have gone to Sister Mohini, but anyway, there may be some of you here who teach. If you are teaching, you see, you don't want to be just teaching like a parrot, just repeating what you've heard, because there would not be the depth of it, the experience of it. Baba talks about the authority of experience. So we need to be able to really think about what we're saying so that it is coherent for people who are listening to it. So if I say, I'm a soul, what do I mean by that? Just the word, I'm a soul, is easy. But what exactly do I mean by I'm a soul? Because we have to become a soul and then say that in order for it to have some kind of meaning for anyone. Otherwise it's just, yeah, I've heard about that already. You know, and then the person gets bored or irritated. You know, if somebody is lecturing at you, you don't like it, right? Do you? But if somebody is really telling you the truth from deep within themselves, it's very interesting, because there's so many things that's going with that. And most of it is that that person is being real, isn't it? When somebody is real and they're telling the truth in an immediate way, in an authentic way, you get it and you pick it up and it nourishes you. It makes you feel as if you have been benefited. And so your feeling towards the person who's telling you that truth is good. And because of the value of that thing. Why is something valuable? Because you get something from it. And so Baba also tells us we are the most valuable, and we have to become the most valuable, as well as the lighthouse and the might house. And so the value of power, the value of the light of knowledge, has to also come through in our communication of that. And it will come through when we have really absorbed it deeply into ourselves. And so again and again, we go back to the very essentials of gyan. I am a soul. I have a mind, I have an intellect, good sanskaras, bad sanskaras, there's the cycle. So what am I? If I say point of light, if you think the word point of light, are you thinking a thing or are you thinking a being? Because normally speaking, the word point provokes the sense of a thing. Now, we say, I am a female or a male, and that's a body conscious statement. But our intellect associates the word he or she with a being as opposed to a thing. So when we're wondering about what kind of pronoun I will use for myself, let alone for Shiv Baba, the femaleness of a person is entirely due to their biology. So that's a representation of an object. She refers to a physical object, right? in the same way he refers to a physical object. And so then you have, you know, something like this glass of water, which is, I mean, if you think of it symbolically, you'd say it's a she because it contains something. Or you could say it's a he, you know. But actually it's an it. Now, there are some languages that have masculine and feminine, right? French, Spanish, like this. German has three. There's masculine, feminine, neuter. English has just one, so we think of it in that way. But the way that our language is constructed, if you think of the multiple articles in different languages, we have a lot of language groups here. Sanskrit has masculine, feminine, neuter. Hindi has masculine, feminine. Don't know why they dropped the neuter or how the neuter came. But for a soul, is it an it? Is he a he? Is she a she? None of them. We don't have a pronoun for a soul. Because the language that we use arises from the body conscious intellect. Doesn't it? So, do we invent some new word? We can't do that because it'll mess up our possibility of communication. But still, within our mind, we have to think, you know, what am I? Am I a what? And who am I? Because there's a who of me and there's a what of me. Because what am I? Dot, soul, point of light. Who am I? Well, I don't have a clue. Right? You don't have a clue, yes? When Baba or any, you know, special souls tells you something about yourself, highly complimentary, you say, I don't know. Yeah. Baba says, oh, you know, Dadi Gulzar very often in her lectures talks about how Baba said to the sisters when they were very small children, you are my Vishwa Kalyankari children, you know, you are going to do benefit of the world. They never even seen a map of the world, let alone the idea, you know. So these blessings Baba gave, at the time when he gave them, they didn't have a clue what he's talking about, you know, because we are small children, how are we going to be benefactors of the world, and what on earth does that mean, you see? So Baba has told us, take your titles, you know. So Lighthouse and Might House, they're also titles. They're also blessings. See? So they have their basic definition, and they have their symbolic value, and then they also have the value as titles. Baba has said, think of your title, you see. Now normally, what does the word title refer to? You know, in your computer there's a little box in your contact list for somebody's title. And in that you write professor, doctor, sir, you know, something like this, right? Title. Our title is Lighthouse, Might House. Yes or no? Yes. So if it's your title, that's your identity. And so, if somebody happens to be Dr. So-and-so, doctor of medicine, everybody says doctor, doctor, you know, all this, that person has it reinforced by external references. And then on their house or their office outside, it says doctor, blah, blah, blah. And when somebody asks, you know, who are you? You say, oh, I am doctor this and that. Or professor, or they'll, some people will say, I'm only whatever, without title. You know? So the worst thing you can be is just a miss, or a missus, or a mister, or a mzz. You know? sometimes people say, well, I'm only a housewife. And I say, what do you mean only? What is only? You see? And because we, a part of our body consciousness, part of our darkness, is we don't know who we are. You know who you are theoretically, but you don't know who you are inside, deeply, you see. Why? Because sometimes we are a little bit that way, soul conscious, slightly lighthouse, slightly lighthouse, but then there are other occasions where you're not. So to be something, that means one has to be that thing at all times. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Of course, that's the angel stage. And when you're an angel, you're no longer in this body. So when you think about Bap Dada, we're going to see Bap Dada. Alright? And when we see Bap Dada, who are we seeing? What is that? Who is that? Right? We're going to see Bap Dada, and to listen to Bap Dada. Bap Dada is our teacher, father, combined Shiva Baba Brahma Baba, angel form. What is that? Yeah. And then you take drishti from Bap Dada, and you feel the energy. This is a lighthouse. This is a might house. And if you remember Brahma Baba's initial experience when all of this first started to happen, what was his first experience of Shiva Baba that's recorded in our literature? He said, who was it? It was a light. It was a might. Who was it? You remember that? Yes? So again, you have this, a light and a might. The discarnate supreme being, supreme soul, a light and a might. And not a what, but a who. So it's very subtle. A someone who you can't see, but you see as an intense light with power. And then Shiva Baba's first words recorded in our literature, you must have heard about it, Shivoham Ananda Swarupam. You know, I am Shiva, the embodiment of bliss. Bliss. So we have light, we have might, we have bliss. Before anything ever happened to us, before we ever arrived on this planet and our light and might started getting used and consequently reducing, when we are in the soul world, we are totally light, totally might, and totally unaware. Because we, souls, can only be aware of what we are when we're in a body. Shiva Baba is aware of what he is without a body. That's different. So we have to think. Because he tells us, you have to become like me. He is bodiless. We cannot think about anything unless we are in our body. So we have to be disembodied whilst in a body, light and might whilst being weak and dark, and become that somehow. This is our task, I see. We get, the way we get it is we get glimpses, isn't it? Sometimes you say, I had a very good meditation. Yes? Very good. Every so often you have a good meditation. There can't be anyone here who's never had a good meditation. Is that right? Anybody here never had a good meditation? Nobody, huh? Can admit to it. But anyway, sometimes I hear people say, you know, when I first came to Baba, I had such, you know, incredible experiences and I can't get that anymore. Have you experienced that? Yes? Yes. Because it's a gift. And it's also a sample. You see, if he says to somebody, become a light and a might, and you'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. But if he enables you to experience that, even for 1 second, you're not going to forget it. Are you? And so, from time to time, you know, the way that he teaches us, he says, okay, you do drill. You've heard this expression, a drill. And what is drill? It's a military term. And when the soldiers are doing drill, they're marching this way, that way, put their gun this side, that side, and, you know, exercise. And so when we do drill, it's that exercise to bring oneself into some or another stage immediately. Isn't it? So in the last few Muralis, Baba has given us a few minutes of what he calls drill. That in 1 second, leave your body, go to Paramdham, and stay there for 5 minutes. And you either can or you can't. But regardless, you try and do it. And the process of trying to do it is something that goes on in your mind. Okay, I'm leaving my body. You know, you do it in a number of different ways, and some people just naturally do it. And if you observe very experienced yogis closely when they're going into meditation, you can practically see what they're doing in their mind. So you have actually a sample in front of you of someone who goes into meditation. And so this is why when we teach another person meditation, you sit them in front of you and you say, okay, now look at me this way, and we'll, and they demonstrate it. You see. Now if you're doing a meditation commentary and you're not doing that, that meditation commentary is a waste of time. It's only words. And it won't enable a person to experience any kind of meditation because it's only words. Maybe very pretty, but it's not real because the person isn't actually going into meditation. So what we're speaking about, we have to actually do and actually become. And it's an internal thing, you see. And if we're doing this without words, we can call that as service through the mind. It's definitely communicated. And if you see somebody walking around in Madhuban who's in a good stage, you say, yeah, they're in a good stage. You can't see somebody's stage, but you can. Because your stage is something that you pick up from a person's vibrations, the aura. Can't see auras, but still you say you can sense their light, their serenity, their stability of mind. Because while it is intangible from a five senses point of view, it's very tangible. And the more experienced you are in meditation, the more tangible these intangible things become. And the easier it is for you to render tangible things neutral, so that you have the inner world, the spiritual world, And then you have the outer world, which is basically 3D wallpaper around you. Right? It's a 3D wallpaper. So, you want to be a lighthouse, and you want to be a might house. Now, what he also says is, do not do anything. Right? Kartapan. You know this word, kartapan. You must have heard it quite a few times. The consciousness of doing an action. I have to do, I did, I'm supposed to do, I can do, I will do, I want to do, all of this, this is all action consciousness. So Baba has also been telling us to develop something called nimitpan, you know, this stage of being instrument. So anyway, if you think of a lighthouse, it's an instrument. Think of a might house, this is also an instrument. So you are a conduit for light and might. You are actually light and might. And you make that stable. That is to say that your 3D wallpaper is not influencing your mind. But it influences because our level of yoga is less. So, for example, you may be aware that Dadi Jenki, when she's conducting a class, and she sees everybody, and she sees that if somebody comes in from that door over there, how many people's eyes go over there? And it's the majority. And what that means is that most people are not able to be fast enough to identify that a person coming in the door requires no response. Now, if a big fire was coming in through the door, it would require a response. But we could be able to ascertain that in a nanosecond and act on it. But if we actually get distracted by something that doesn't require our attention, it means I do not have any power over my mind. And so, in the practice of BK knowledge, this practice is done in circumstances of unreasonable opposition. Is it necessary? Because if you don't have unreasonable opposition, you never know whether or not you're focused. You see? And there have to be a lot of distractions. And you have to be so sharp and so fast to stay light, the lighthouse, the might house, and unwavering. Then only you can pass through the destruction. Then only you can be actually present for your leaving of the body, which is our last exam, which takes 1 second. You see? And so Baba has mentioned that we have to have practice for a long time. That means long time. Not just a long time, a very long time. And we have to be very perseverant. So when there is a distraction and soul naturally comes into sound and into action, again, the soul returns to the work in hand. Making it clear for the self I am not this body, but I power this body. I am not mind, intellect, sanskaras, but they are always with me. My subtle organs. I have the gross organs of the body, which I change from time to time through the cycle. And I have the subtle organs of the soul, which change over time. So I'm always with matter, and I am always with the subtle organs of the soul. But I am something else. I am a power who exists in a state of bliss. I am in the process of becoming completely clear, completely powerful. So the mind becomes still. And the intellect plane sanskaras are quiet. Not getting triggered by anything. Either soul am detached from the physical world around me, and from the subtle organs of the soul. I go deep inside. To be able to feel what it is to be. And then the deepest part of my being I become aware of my essential elements of the self. Purity, peace, power. Love. And bliss. I go into non-action. simply being in a state of purity. Peace that is silence, stillness. And the energy of the soul is no longer getting used. The energy of the soul circulates within itself. And then the soul doesn't need anything. Then it is able to be loving, loving means generous, giving, naturally. Because the soul is full. Radiance from the soul is completely pure. The karma of the mind is pure. The soul enters into the state of bliss. The world of time, space, and action stops. Because it doesn't attract the soul. And therefore it is no longer there. As the soul reaches that solitude, Baba becomes present. The soul enters the world of silence. Connects with Shiv Baba. The light, the power, is drawn into the soul. The awareness of the knowledge that he gives. what the mind of the Supreme Soul knows. The soul can also see. Clarity of the whole game is visible. And the wonder of seeing all things all at once. The most powerful attraction. You begin to understand the love that he has for the soul. And feel that attraction. Stillness. Begin to feel the sweetness the freedom exists always in bliss. Infinitely patient. In that stable stage, you absorb as light, as power, as clarity, as love, as purity, and you become like him. Stable, subtle, and pure. Nothing else matters. You are beyond time, beyond space. Beyond action. And it feels so good. And you just stay there. Absorbing, vibrating, a slow pulsation of energy fills you repeatedly. Moves through you the world. You are serving through the mind. A conduit